Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 52, On the Way Again, number 4. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. This message was originally recorded January 4th, 1985. It runs about 90 minutes. Be sure to go to the blog for the show notes, and that address is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there you're going to see a lot of scriptures that are within the message, so be sure to link to the scriptures. You can also subscribe to the podcast at the blog. And again, it's www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, so be sure to subscribe. You can also make comments, questions, or suggestions. The comment line is 1-715-808-0318, so call the comment line and make a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. The links will be in the show notes. www.pastorpaul.org is our website. It's a one-page site until we get it built. You could also make some suggestions about our website, and that address is www.pastorpaul.org. You can make a donation on the homepage, and if you're in need of food, the contact information is at the bottom of the homepage. Our address is 1000 Oliver Avenue North, Minneapolis, and our phone number to Pastor Paul's mission is 612-521-4665. I'm going to be brief because the message is running 90 minutes. Some of the points to listen to: suffering builds character, character builds confidence, confidence builds community, and the communities build our country. When there's a general breakdown in any of these, it affects everything else. The royal law of love is still the law for Christians, the royal law of love. And what do you have to contribute? Pastor Paul asked that question, and he's not talking about money. He's talking about your life. What do you have to contribute? The body of Christ is on a break. That comes from Pastor Paul. The body of Christ is on a break. And then, are you a light? When you walk into a room, are you a light? These are some things to think about. As you know, we all get different things out of Pastor Paul's message. This message is so good. The very end, it gets better as it goes on. So be sure to listen. Come here next Friday again. That'll be episode 53, On the Way Again, number 5. We're doing a series of On the Way Again messages. They're just so good. We're going to keep going with them. I hope you have a great week, and I'll see you back here next Friday. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled On the Way Again, number 4. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the way and not the way. And without the Holy Spirit, that everything would fall apart. Now, even Christians, I got to say this, people out there in the world realize that without a belief in Jesus Christ, without a morality in the community, there would be nothing. In other words, morality in the community would be impossible without people believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There would be no morals here. And so would it be in business, because the life structure rests on a thing called character. That's one thing that we need to build in our church, is character, and that comes through suffering and trial and going through temptations and being tested. And it builds our character. So many times you like to pull each other out of a dangerous situation. God wants them to go through that thing, and we want to pull them on. We want to baby them out of the thing. But I think we need to go ahead and build character, and if that character breaks, and the world knows this, if character breaks, then confidence breaks. Then you don't have a confidence in the person. Then when that confidence breaks, the community breaks. It's a great example of what's happened right here in Minneapolis, and even on the north side here especially. The character is broken down, and so the confidence is broken down, and then the community breaks down. The whole community is in a breakdown. Without the Lord, it would be completely broken down, altogether broken down. Without Jesus in our lives, in our personal lives, First the character breaks, then the confidence breaks, and then the community breaks. So how important it is to be that Christian, that having done all stand Christian, the one that wants to go ahead with the Lord. But listen now, if the community breaks, the country breaks. We're seeing a breakdown. Russia right now is having a nervous breakdown. China right now is having a nervous breakdown. And the United States right now, we're having a nervous breakdown. Because you see, the character broke down and then the confidence broke down. We have no confidence now in politicians. No confidence now in preachers. No confidence now in our schools. And there's a general breakdown. And then we hear people that, let me tell you something here too. When the rapture happens, there's going to be a total breakdown. When all of the people filled with the Holy Ghost are gone, it's going to be hell on earth. Now I hear people say when I'm out during the week, well, business is business. I think that's false, and I think that's dangerous. Because the business that regards only itself and doesn't regard the moral universe and doesn't regard God will break itself on the moral universe. It will break itself. Break itself. Business as usual, I'm saying, must cease. Are you hearing this? There has got to be a move of the Holy Spirit. There has got to be a rapture in our hearts and a tuning into God. God right now is speaking to the church. God is saying to the church, having done all stand, and God is moving right now, a people out of a people are forming even now as I'm preaching. There's a coming out, but there's a coming in. Well, look at the fall of Rome, and look at the fall of Greece. Look at the fall of the school system. There's people coming out of school can't even read and write. Isn't that the truth? And then look at the fall of the organized church. Monkey business has created, I think, a lot of monkeys. Say amen, somebody. Because people in the world have an image to keep, don't they? Even in the world, they have to keep up their image. Don't they? Well, you can call them phonies. You can call them all these kind of things, but they have an image to keep. They go to work, they have to have a certain kind of a car, they have to dress a certain way, and they have to have a certain little office with a certain desk, and they have a little, you know, a certain kind of carpet, and that shows they have status. Even our government officials right now, they should be good examples. Our government officials shouldn't be caught in cheating, or they shouldn't be caught in chasing or being drunk, ruining liquor stores. Now, government officials shouldn't be open to criticism about their moralities. Isn't that right? And yet, even in the church right now, we're leaving ourselves wide open to criticism. Aren't we? Say amen. How do people see the Christian? How does the world view the Christian? Now, here's one walking around, sort of a zombie state. And she's having some discerning or something going on. So, well, what's wrong with you? I'm discerning something. Here's another one over here. He's getting a divine revelation on the boss's time. And here's one over here in the corner over here. He said, don't bother me. I'm praying with his brother, I'm praying with his sister. And they're viewing all this and they say, this is the image of Christ. They're looking for reality. They're looking for a Savior. And most times we're in large groups in auditoriums standing up and claiming things. That's what the world does. They're always claiming things. Give me this and give me that. Give me this and give me that. I came out of that. I don't want to go back into it again. And so they're looking at all this, and they're not seeing the image of Christ. They're not seeing any suffering. They're not seeing the will of God coming forth. And they say, well, this isn't reality. You guys are a bunch of nuts. Well, it's the truth. You think about it. Think about it. Just about any Christian can be a prophet of God. All they have to do is say, thus saith the Lord. The Lord spoke to me. He was at my kitchen table this morning, and I said, one lump or two lumps, Lord? Cream? Now listen to what I'm saying here. And they go their whole day in an imaginary way. God isn't in it. They haven't denied themselves. They're not bearing a cross. They're not doing anything. They're just in a continual conversation about their own selfish self. And the balance is gone, and the realism of knowing Jesus and the walking with Jesus is gone. Because I tell you, if you're following the Lord, He's on the move. Paul says, follow me as I follow Jesus. And he was always moving. And it was a funny thing. He was always getting stoned and thrown in jail, persecuted. And I never once read in the Bible where he was sitting around claiming everything. He says, I count all that I knew but dung. Woe be it to me if I preach not the gospel. What happened to that? How many are hearing this message? How many are hearing it? See, there's got to be a reality in the body of Christ. We've got to come around. In Proverbs 14, starting in verse 18. The naive inherit folly. Don't you see a lot of naive people? But the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Ooh. The simple. The evil will bow down before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even by his neighbor. Do you understand that? That if a poor neighbor is living next to a poor neighbor, he doesn't like him, he hates him. Now listen, but those who love the rich are many. They love successful people. Oh, you know, a rich man can get anything done. Will you do this for me? Oh, sure. They'll just bow and scrape and lick leather. But if a poor man comes along, they look at him like he's some kind of a scunge. Isn't that hard to understand? He who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. Are you hearing this? Will they not go astray who devise evil? But kindness and truth will be to those who devise good. In all labor, there is profit. Everybody's looking for a profit without doing anything. And I got a word for you if you want a word. In all labor, there is a profit. But mere talk leads only to poverty. And oh my, isn't there a whole lot of talking going on? Well, the world even says it, all talk and no action. See, I mean, even the Holy Spirit, of course the Holy Spirit speaks to the world system. God is over all government and all authority. And so they come up with Bible scriptures. They don't even know it because all the wisdom comes from above. And so when some wisdom comes from the world, they're getting it from God. And they say, put your money where your mouth is. And they say all these things that are scripturally based. Mere talk leads only to poverty. Oh, how poor we become in the church when we just talk. So easy to get into groups and just talk. And then, and we just talk and we 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 talk. Now, I have to put this in the natural so people will understand it. Could you do that at your job? Could the whole place just sit around and talk? You would be fired. That's what's happening in the church. Everybody is sitting around talking about doing something and nobody's doing anything. Now, I'm only talking about myself. I think less talk and more action. Don't you? That's like the farmer that's sitting there with the Sears catalog years ago. Well, Gusty, come spring, we're going to plant out there, and then the grandma, she knows he ain't going to go out there. Yeah, John, I know you're, yeah, that's great. Spring comes, he sleeps all the way through. And so many times we can catch ourselves talking, but never doing anything. I say talk and work at the same time. Before we get fired. Say amen, somebody. Well, we love to go out for coffee and sit in Perkins and just get all spiritual and you know, leave a dime tip and just bother the waitress. Are you born again? Huh? That's fine, but people aren't they don't want to be born again with a bunch of simps sitting around the table talking. No reality in it whatsoever. Sit for like 4 hours. And say nothing. Nothing. In the world, I even knew that. In the world, when I ran out of conversation and something smart to say, I said, it's time for me to go. I'm getting ignorant and stupid. Let's go. And if you sit around a whole long time, you're going to get ignorant and stupid. You're going to say stupid things. Did you ever do that? Pretty soon you, what if the Martians came and stuff? Oh, my. Anyway, nothing that is right is futile. Now, as we go on in our search for the way in life, we find many other man-made ways. And we're seeing a lot of man-made ways right now. I know they're not of the Lord. They're man-made. They have nothing to do with the way. They're off the way. Because all the not ways will eventually take people to the way. They can go all the not ways they want to, but it's eventually going to end to the way. All roads lead to God. One way or the other. Everybody, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every one of them. They're all going to meet the Lord. Eventually, all those not the ways are going to take them right to Jesus. Now, I've heard this said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But I think where you put a salt block someplace, he's going to want some water. I think if we were just a little bit salty in our preaching and in our works, not for the sake of being saved, but works because of a fruit of being saved, and be salty Christians, someone would want to drink. And I know a lot of people that come to the way many times in their life but won't take it. Why? Because it's not salty enough. Because nothing right is futile, but doing wrong, I believe, is always futile. And I think there's a whole lot of wrongdoing. Don't you? Don't you think when we're working for the Lord, we should put all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul into it? All of it. Now, if you were working down here at a plant and they were on piecework, boy, you'd be working, wouldn't you? You'd be competing with the next guy. Oh, you'd think you're so smart, 104 pieces an hour, huh? Then the world cheats you out of it and they up the ante. Why not do that for the Lord? Oh, 104 souls you got saved. Huh? Well, let me get out here and get some more. I can do it. I can do all things well through Christ. Huh?
Oh, amen.
Was that too realistic? Okay. Just claim the souls. Lord, I claim souls to come in. You got to open the door up. That's like having the door to your house locked and bolted, chains, bolts, 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 and a big board in the middle of the thing, and sitting down, I claim them all to enter. But you never open the door up. Isn't that kind of ignorant? Isn't it? I think it is. And it's getting to be where people think that a lie is useful. Well, I know that the universe is not built on a lie. A lie will never cause you any kind of a success. Nothing but the strict truth can you build on. Did you hear what I said? A lot of times we can lie by not opening our mouth up. Silent liars. Someone says something and we think, well, I won't say anything because it'll ruin what I'm up to. You're a liar without even opening your mouth up. How do I know that? I probably did it 3 or 4 times this week already. But at least I caught myself. Well, you know, in the world, they even said it when we were kids, liar, 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 pants on fire or something like that. Okay, well, whatever. You hearing this? I won't get into nursery rhymes. But everything must be built on the strict truth. Are you hearing it? Marriage has got to be built on the truth. It won't stand. You ever seen a marriage that made it where there was a bunch of lies going on? People can say, I love you, and be telling a lie. Isn't that right? Do you love me? Mm-hmm. You could build a friendship on a lie? Oh, how many lying friendships there are. Isn't there? In the world there's a lot of them, and I think in Christianity there's a lot of them too. Friendships that are built on a lie. No greater love hath the man than he would die for a friend. Would you die for your friend? No, you'd find some excuse for not. Well, he isn't worth it. Look, well, hey, God doesn't want me to die for him. Well, God came and died for sinners. The worstest kind. Are you hearing it? I say, why do you always use, I get calls, why do you always use incorrect English? I say, because it gets your attention. Then I get all the English teachers. Can you build a business on a lie? No, it falls apart. Can you build a church on a lie?
No.
I'll tell you when the truth comes. And the truth starts pointing out. And the truth starts dealing with church and bodies and people and families and everything. You're going to find out a lot of it's been a lie. You can tell a lie while you're in the truth. That's why we have to seek the Holy Ghost all the time. Lord, search my heart. I want the truth, and the truth will set me free. And so we're seeing a lot of weakness in these things that are built on lies. A half a truth is a lie, isn't it? Don't they even say it in the world? Did you promise to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth will help you, God? That's the only way he will help you, you know, if you tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. He isn't going to wink when you just tell half a truth. Huh? You can't wink. Okay. How many are hearing this? And see, these are the things we really have to deal with, but we're so interested in getting into the fantasy of the thing. And we miss the point. God is dealing with the individual. And isn't that wonderful that he loves you so much that he's dealing with you and he'll deal with you through until you leave here, until after you leave here, for all eternity? You cannot build anything on a lie. That's why we have to be truthful. Say amen. That's a lie when we say we love the Lord and then we just put a half of our heart, a half a heart. Do you want a half a heart? Now, if you had a plant, would you want a half-hearted worker in there? Would you want a half-hearted mechanic working on your car? Oh, let's see. I forgot to... Oh, man. I cracked one of them spark plugs. You'll never know. Half-hearted. And God doesn't want half-hearted Christians. And they got all kinds of excuses. Lame backs, lame elbows, and lame heads, whatever. And it's half-heartedness that kills a nation. And it's a lie, and we can't build on that. A half a love affair, a half a job, a half a doing won't work. It's got to go all the way. Don't you see where we got to get back into the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Isn't sin a forever ugliness? And isn't our God a forever beautiful? Hallelujah. In James 2 and 8, if, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. Well, the guy told me, he says, I don't love myself very much. Well, do you love yourself a little bit? Well, of course. Well, can you love your neighbor a little bit then? I said, just be honest. Well, if the scripture says that, of course. Well, that's what it says. Can you do it? Of course. I says, no, you can't do it without the grace of God. I know I can't. There's no love in me saving the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to try to pretend. I'll blow my cover. That's like you're telling everybody you have love, and then they come over to your house and they hear, shut up! Oh, you don't tell me to shut up. You remember 1948 and 1950? You rat! Oh, my. And we're not sorry that we sinned before God. We're sorry that we got caught by our neighbor. Makes me to start to believe in, do we even believe there's God? But it says if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point has become then guilty of all. Aren't you glad that you're under the royal law of love? Love overlooks all things. beareth all things, endureth all things, never takes into account a wrong suffered. It's the greatest of all things, and we're under the royal law of love. That's our commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. How many hearing this message tonight? Here we are in Matthew 7 and 12. Therefore, however, you want people to treat you, so treat them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. You know why that the road is narrow and that the gate is narrow? Because if it wasn't, we'd want to take all of our bag of junk with us. Everything we claim. Hey, I claim this by faith, and I'm taking it all with me. You won't get through. You got to leave your flesh behind. And your flesh is all these fleshy desires and worldly goods and all of these lusts and desires that you're carrying on your back will not make it through that narrow gate. No way. And that's why the gate is narrow. You can't take care of your friends and you can't come to church and then have friends out in the world and all this. I said, well, I want to take some of my friends down the narrow road and I want to take some of my friends down through this narrow gate. Sorry, you either go one way or the other, but you're not going to get through here with all them fleshy desires. Oh, right there, I've made folks mad on the radio. I know it. I said it, and I'm glad. Because you know why? You folks on the radio aren't happy anyway, are you? Are you happy going halfway with Jesus? Don't touch that dial. Answer the question. And you on the tape ministry, are you happy going halfway? Now you'll turn it on later. Go ahead, turn it off. But just so you get cooled off a little bit, turn me back on again. See, because if you don't die to yourself and serve others, you won't be able to get along with others. You got to die to yourself and you got to serve others. And your flesh does not want to do that. Does it? It's like, okay, I have to put it in the natural again. All right? Hello, is this Mr. Arnopoulos? Yes, this is Mr. Arnopoulos. You have just won a brand new Cadillac and a home on the lake, and you got the $10 million sweepstakes. Are you excited? Well, of course I am. I'm laying on the floor. But would you be able to deny yourself and give all of that money to the poor? To Ethiopia. No. Most times people start bargaining. Lord, even before they get it. Lord, I tell you, I promise. You get me that $10 million, Lord, I'm going to give you, 20%. And that doesn't happen right away. Lord, I changed my mind. I'm going to give you 50%. And nothing comes in the mail. I mean it. I'm going to give 75%. I'm only going to keep a couple million for myself. Sometimes I get such ridiculous phone calls, and I have to admit I get in the flesh sometimes. I have to. And when they come on with all this spiritual jargon, I just feel like going, I'm sorry, that's the way it is. If you don't think that's spiritual, that's just the way I am. I cannot listen to all of this garbage. There's so much garbage going around, I don't believe it. Say amen, somebody. See, you got to learn how to die to yourself and to serve others, and that's when you're going to be happy. Oh, but it's so hard to make that step. Isn't it? Because you always want to keep a little bit for yourself. And you know something? It won't work. You're off the way again. No, you're on the wrong road. Deny yourself. Take up a cross and follow me. Not only do you have to follow the Lord, you have to bear a cross. Too much? Well, you ain't going to have the joy of the Lord until you do it. You're just going to be continually seeking after your flesh and getting into fleshy conversations on the phone until you smell like a walking garbage can. Now, you know, I'm glad you turned that radio back on. You caught me just at the right time. Say amen. Say, hey, it works. Don't knock it. It works. You know what? The Christian cannot be self-centered. Did you hear that? And how many of us are self-centered? Oh, God. We're so worried about how we're going to look. Huh? So worried about where we go or what people will say. Hmm? Don't worry about it. They talk about you anyway. Well, how can they? I do everything right. I don't do nothing wrong. There you are, bragging yourself up again. Don't lean on your own understanding. You don't understand yourself. That's like leaning on a dung heap. Are you hearing it? That's what the Bible says. I believe that Christians should be God-centered. Isn't the power in surrender? There's power in surrender. Doesn't it drain your batteries when you're self-centered? You ain't plugged into nothing. You got the cord that's plugged into your belly button here, from your head in here, see? The stomach and the mind and the stomach and the desires. How long do you think you can go that way? You'll end up in the Glenwood Hills. See, I'd be plugged into God. Sometimes he puts you on high voltage. That's the only way you're going to be happy. Well, that's the lessons that's hard to learn, isn't it? Isn't it? Because we're always looking at other folks. Either we want to be like them, or maybe we're a little jealous of them. Something like that. We're not centered on the God. And we end up being miserable. Isn't that right? It's like centering yourself on a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Aren't they obnoxious after a while? After you're a Christian and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit and you've been you focus in on a boyfriend or you focus in on a girlfriend or a wife or a husband or your kids or whatever. You've got to be plugged into God. And when you're God-centered, then see, life starts to make sense. You start to get well in your mind. You start to get washed by the water of the Word. Hallelujah. That's why there's so many miserable people. They were sent here to serve and they don't want to serve. Go wait on that guy over there. What do you mean? Isn't that right? Me serve him? No way. And we'll find all kinds of excuses not to serve people. Don't we find excuses not to serve one another? Don't we? Say amen, we do, don't we? And we can find a million and one ways not to serve people. And when you serve people, you serve Jesus. And then we try to gather a group. It's like I said here on a Sunday morning. The I don't want to Christians. And I said, they're the I don't want to's. And I said, pretty soon they gather a group, and then they're we don't want to's. We don't want to, we don't want to, huh? And that says if they got all the world of all the Christians together and they all sang, what a choir that would be, we don't want to's. But you're going to have to serve people to have the peace that passes all understanding, or you're going to be most miserable. You're going to be the wicked witch from the west drowning into nothing. Ah. Say amen. God, if we could just get that point across. And even if you had to clench your teeth and take the tree over there, what do you want to eat? That would be a victory with a lot of people. They're so busy serving themselves. And let's see, what do I want today? Oh, I know what I want. And aren't they the most miserable folks? And then they gather themselves to a whole bunch of self-serving people. And they're all, and then I told the Lord if he would do this and I do that and so on. And they're all talking about what they got. Instead of giving, instead of serving, and I tell you, it's getting so, there's hardly anybody that's happy anymore because they're so busy serving themselves. Now the world is going to find out really the hard way that there is only one way. Here we are in this land of mass production. Is it any good if there's no mass distribution? I mean, we got caves and caves and caves. Now that's not the way. Caves of cheese and meat and rumors of meat that are hidden in some kind of archive someplace. How many are hearing this? And we're worrying ourselves, well, where is that meat? Probably there ain't no meat. It's probably cheese or spaghetti or something. And isn't it the truth? Say amen. And our source is God. Is that right? Well, I don't know if I like this message or not. Hey. And here we have an education with no foundation. Well, what do you mean by that? Hey, an education without Jesus Christ, you're going to be the dumbest bomb builder in the world. It's sort of like a smarts out of control, and that's dangerous. Our system has taken God out of the school, out of the government, out of the church. And so we have smarts out of control without God in them. And smarts out of control and off balance, unbalanced really, not off balance, unbalanced, mentally deranged. I mean, I don't believe some of the things I'm seeing. And some of the things that I'm hearing right now, and we all have to say amen to it, there's a lot of silliness going on. And just anybody's an expert now. The authority in the church doesn't mean anything, and nothing means anything now. Everybody's an expert. They've read every book there is. They know just enough scripture to be dangerous. Say amen. And they'll come and lay words on each other. I got a word for you. And I have a word for you. And they scare the people half to death. I have a word for you that are listening on the radio. Shut up. That's the truth, isn't it? Everybody's an expert. Oh, yeah, well, I tell you, I've learned through this, and I'm not against people having knowledge in God. But I mean, just everybody's telling everybody else what to do, and nobody's doing anything. That's just kind of crazy to me. I don't understand that. Do you? That's like running a race and the United States would, the whole team would stand there telling each other how to run. Nobody would run. And the Russians went around the track and run the race. Well, how did they do it? They ran. Yep, they just picked up their feet, made it. Here we are in Proverbs 10 and verse 16. The wages of the righteous is life, and the income of the wicked is punishment. What an income. Have you been punished at all lately? I have. You mean you were wicked? Somewhere along the line, something went wrong. Now, I know everybody just wants to be so spiritual that none of this stuff ever happens to them, but I'm just giving you the truth. What'd you get paid for in the wickedness that you did? You got punished. Now, the other night I had a phone call. Someone called me up and they got so belligerent and I thought, oh, I'm not going to get mad. I will not get mad. I won't. And I was promising myself I wasn't going to do it, and I didn't ask God for his grace. And I felt old Adam raising up. He opened the casket, stepped out, and started growing, you know. And finally I said, instead of all that criticizing, why don't you go on down and do it yourself? And I said, excuse me, I haven't got time for all this. And I hung up. And I called Dolores in the office, and I called another one in the office, and I said, listen, let's pray. And I started to pray this righteous prayer for fire to fall. I was thinking that, but I didn't pray it at all. Okay? And I started to pray, and the Holy Spirit led me in my prayer. I says, Father, we pray for forgiveness here. I didn't say for him, for me, for whatever, but I said forgiveness. About 3 minutes later, isn't that right, Dolores? 3 minutes later, the guy called back. And he says, you know what? I cannot explain this, but as soon as I hung up, I am totally alerted to God. Something happened. He says, a great light came towards me, consumed me. I says, did that just happen? He said, yeah, oh, man. Whew. I says, did it just happen? He says, just as soon as I hung up the phone, I said, well, we were praying for you. We were praying for ourselves. And when the truth came, and the truth was revealed, that young man was set free. You know, he told me on the phone, he says, it's a funny thing. I have no desire for cigarettes right now, and I have no desire for alcohol. I don't know what happened to me! Well, he was forgiven. But I couldn't have said a prayer. If there be any iniquity in my heart, that prayer wouldn't have went nowhere. If there be any iniquity in your heart, I won't even hear your prayers, God says. So it's just the point of being honest. Isn't it? Now, I'm not saying go out and sin and do all kinds of wrong and then be honest about it, because that would be telling a lie and the truth. But let me go on here. The income of the wicked is punishment. He is on the path of life who heeds instruction. I got instruction from the Holy Ghost, and I got right back on the path of life. He who spreads slander is a fool. Now, the word is speaking here, not me. And when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. Where there's a whole lot of talk, there's a whole lot of sin. It's That's why I'm a little leery of all these gab fests and these little deals down there, Perkins or Panakuken or wherever you go, McDonald's or whatever, Burger King. I've got to put them all in there. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Keep your mouth shut. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. They don't understand where to get their food, and they're so busy talking, they don't have time to eat, and they die. It is a blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Doing wickedness is like the sport of a fool, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding. And what the wicked fears, it says, will come upon him. And the desire of the righteous will be granted. Oh my. Isn't the word something? Oh my. And let's look at another little piece of scripture out of Proverbs 11 and 19. He who is steadfast in righteousness will attain to life, and he who pursues evil will bring about his own death. Don't run after evil. That's like you hear something evil going on. Aren't we attracted to evil? It's like a magnet. There's a little evil group over there, and we want to be in that evil group, and you hear a little whisper. Haven't you got good ears when evil is there? Huh? And you hear that little bit of evil over there, and you want to rush towards it and catch it. What'd you say? What'd you say? What'd you say? What'd you say? Huh? What'd you say? Huh? Say that again. What'd you say? Don't ask them what they said. Care less what the world has to say. Care less what evil has to say. Flee from the very appearance of evil. Oh, there's a lot of people I'd like to pick up and run away from when I see them come in the door. I think I said it Sunday. I think some people open up the door and all the birds outside stop singing. And Proverbs 12 and 7 says, the wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. Whew. Don't worry about people that get into doing wicked. It isn't going to stand. It isn't going to stand. It's built on a lie. What you say is the Christian way, the natural way. Well, you can try other ways other than God's ways, but you'll get hurt always. He who sows for his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh, in Galatians 6 and 8. Do you hear a lot of flesh sowing? There is, isn't there? Even in the Christian world right now, there's a lot of flesh sowing. And if you're sowing from the Spirit, you'd be sowing for souls. That'd be the harvest that we want, is souls. More work. Lord, send me, Lord! Isn't that good? I remember saying that years ago. Well, I still say it. Send me, Lord! I want to go! I want to go where God goes, don't you? Ooh, send me. But it's a destruction, and it's destruction right now when we follow after the lust of the flesh. Because when we die to self and we go to the Lord, are you hearing it? We go then from death to joy, and then from joy to peace, and then from peace to personality, and then from personality to contribution. A person that's got the personality of Jesus Christ can contribute. He has something to offer, something to give, something to talk about, something to shout about. Isn't there a song like that? We will grow in the Spirit. We will grow in the Lord. We will grow in the Spirit. We will grow in the Lord. We will grow in the Spirit. We'll grow in the Lord. Now you're able to contribute something. Someone in the flesh is not able to contribute nothing but long lips. That's what we should ask each other in the morning when we come together in our jobs. What do you have to contribute today? And they're standing there like this. I dare you to ask me to do something. Isn't that the way people go to work? Hey, I haven't had my coffee yet. Back off. And when people are on break, oh man, don't break in on their break. I'm on break. And the whole company could go to tubes because this little individual over here is on a break. Yes, this is the head of the General Mills. We would like to place an order for $10 billion. I'm on break. Call back later. Well, that's what we do with the Lord. Someone comes in, they want to be served in wherever we are, radio audience, wherever we're at, and they want to be served in the church, they want to be saved or whatever, and we're on break. We're on one great big continual break. I tell you, the body of Christ is on a break. Well, it's really the truth. You ask somebody to do something. I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the whole body of Christ. And our church, too, is part of the body of Christ. And they look at you like, I'm on break. Huh? Now, isn't that ignorant? And God is asking you to do something, and you're on a break. Isn't that the truth? I hope that I'm getting across. I'm trying to make it as simple as I can. I know the Holy Spirit's helping me. The Christian way is the natural way, the way we are all made to live. This is a natural way. Did you know that? Don't you feel good when you just say yes to the Lord? And you pray and say, Lord, today I want to be used, and by your grace and by your power, I believe I'm going to do it. Thank you, Lord. And you confess faults you got, and you get clear with God, and you clear out all the junk. Lord, use me today. And then you come in the door and you say, I've got something to contribute! And you bring the Spirit of contributing something instead of always taking. Oh, I used to go to taking audiences and they would take you until they sucked you dry. I mean, literally sucked you dry. Took an hour just to lift them up. They were slumped in their seats and they were God done eating and they were, oh man, try to bless me, people. I've been blessed by better guys than this guy, you know. Oh, yeah, I heard that scripture before. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. I mean, I know the whole man. I can just about tell what he's going to preach. But he never received it. What have you got to contribute? Madness? Flesh? Why do I have to do everything? Get somebody else. Huh? Is that your contribution? Your mouth? They're mad. Do you contribute your mouth to your wife all the time? Bucky boy? What a contribution! Wonderful! But what do you have to contribute? Think about it. Think about it. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory, to contribute. Give Christ. That's all you have to give. That's something to give. Well, I hate you, but Jesus in me loves you. That's not Jesus in you. Now, I'll tell you something, world that's listening out there. If you're not born again, sin is not the natural thing. It's not natural. Everybody is doing it. It's not natural. Are you hearing it? See, if it were natural, world, you'd be happy. Are you happy? I was just praising God the other day. It was the January 1st. And I was feeling so wonderful. And I thought, all of those January 1st that I had that, this great big melon of a head, and just a terrible yucky feeling in my mouth, and puking all night, gagging until my veins popped out and my eyes. Now, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? I mean, your eyes were popped out and a cold sweat would run down your whole body. Convulsions and shakes. And you'd look in the mirror and you'd, is that me? And you'd all be white up in the forehead and red all over and purple. And your eyeballs like this and water in the eyeballs and the veins popping. I look like a demon looking at yourself. Because it was a demon. And I thought, praise God. I got something to contribute. I got the Lord to contribute. Hallelujah. But world, are you peaceful? No, you're not peaceful. Are you content? No. Are you healthy? No. You got bad liver? Bad breath? Bad actions? But the world says that's natural. Is that natural to smell like that? Is that natural for your liver to just say, oh, here it comes, and shrivel up into a little yellow ball down there? Is that natural? The world says that's natural. The world says it's natural to flirt. Now, they always blame the flirting on the girls. But there's a whole lot of guys that flirt. Is that right? They call that natural. To con one another and to drink and to drug and to fight, that's natural. Boy, I like a good old fight. Yeah. They call that natural. They say that's natural. And then because they do these things, they lock one another up. Does that make sense? Oh, that's natural. And then the guy does a natural thing and they lock him up. Get disgusted with one another, kill one another, and that's natural. Because I believe if the world were right, then being good is unnatural. And wouldn't it be right? If they're right, one wife is unnatural. One husband is unnatural. Helping people is unnatural. And it says in the end, good will be called evil and evil will be called good. Oh, wasn't that a good movie? There was hardly any swearing in it. And it was an X-rated movie. Hardly any violence. See, if evil is natural, why are people punished for doing it? Why are you punished for doing it? Now, we got people in the world listening to this. You see, sin and punishment are one and the same thing. You sin and you get punished for it, even in the world. And when we sin, spiritually speaking, you're going to get punished. Right? Well, we know when we sin because the Holy Spirit right away convicts us. You know, if you're really into it, you can tell by the ring of the telephone who it is that's ringing that phone. You're on the same wavelength. There's some kind of evil question you want answered. Did you know that? You know what's going to happen? We get punished for it. Every time. Not sometimes. And you can't fool God. And so it's so great when the Holy Spirit convicts us right away before we do it. Then we have a choice. Answer. Nope, I don't want to hear it. Click. How many know you're convicted just before you do or say anything? Unless you continue on and then God just says, well, just, hey, back off for a while. How many know before we do any act, the Holy Spirit, He's right there. He's so faithful. See, when you're born of the Spirit, you have the spirit of repentance. Not just repentance, I'm sorry, 150 times. No, you have the spirit of repentance. You repent before you even, well, the thought is in action, you're repenting. While it's still going on, you're repenting, repenting. Even while the devil is talking and old Adam is raising up, you're repenting right then. Washed by the water, continual washed. Cleanses by the blood, cleanses, ETH, continual cleansing. Well, an attempt to live against God. And I think many times, even in the Christian world, we do that, the result is always breakdown. Always. And the more you know in the Lord, the greater the conviction is, and the more often He deals with you. Isn't that right? I mean, I spent the whole day a couple days ago repenting. I mean, you know. Well, gee, what were you doing? None of your business. It was just the thought things that were going on. Self got in, and some conniving got in, a little conotery, con. Short for doing it your own way. And I thought to myself, if sin is natural, then why doesn't it contribute to life and produce happiness? Why doesn't it produce beauty? Doesn't produce beauty. You got to cover up the ugliness all the time. Why doesn't it contribute? Why doesn't it contribute peace? If we're going a person going the wrong way, does it contribute peace? No. Does it contribute stability? No. Does it contribute harmony? No. Affectiveness of any kind? No. I'll say this, sin is, sin has been, will always be miserable. Were you miserable this week sometime? Now they're trying to bring gambling into this state. Is that going to bring happiness? Oh, I think that's the most hellish thing they could ever do. Are you hearing it? Isn't that miserable when we get into gossip? Do you feel good after you get done gossiping? No, you feel miserable. Oh, I ate the whole thing. I don't believe it. Even if you listen to it. That's how you're fed, by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how you're fed, through your ears and through your eyes. I don't believe I ate all that gossip. Now, Rolaids ain't going to take that thing away. You're going to have to get into the word of God, pray and fast, and get down on your hands and knees, and probably go to the person and say you're sorry for getting into all that gossip. Now, I'm just talking about your well-being. Don't worry about the person over here did all that wrong. You're going to judge them anyway. They're already having theirs. The sin that they got into is punishment enough. You don't have to add your 2 cents to it. Now you add your 2 cents to it, and you listen to all that other gossip. Now you got a gutache, and you're in sin. And that's why we're so miserable all the time. Say amen. These are just little helpful antidotes. God, they work too. Mind your own business. Keep your mouth shut and go on with the Lord. Get busy. All right, Luke 15 and 17. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger?" You out there that are into backsliding, you think back at all the times that you had all that you wanted to eat. Even the hired hands had all that. And then you go on and it says in the Bible here, "I will go to my father's and my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm sorry." Oh, don't we need to say we're sorry sometimes? Don't we? Oh, and right now I hear people saying, "My God, I'm not going to say I'm sorry if I don't mean it. I won't do it. I won't be a phony." You're a phony already, because you can go for the grace of God and say you're sorry. You can't say it any other way. And how many people are caught up in unforgiveness, and God doesn't even hear their prayers? Say amen, somebody. God, now this is very serious business if you want to have your prayers answered. If you're sitting in here tonight, you're listening to tape or radio right now, and you're living in unforgiveness, your prayers aren't even heard. Not even heard. If you have aught against a brother, leave the altar. Leave your gift at the altar, because God knows if you took your gift, you'd never come back again. Leave it there. Go on out. It doesn't say who's at fault. Doesn't matter who's at fault. All have missed the mark. Now let me close this message. I'm going to say something here. I think we don't deal enough with sin. We should be talking about it and dealing with it all the time. We should recognize what it is. It is unnatural. Are you hearing it? All the unnatural things I used to do. Bar hopping and swearing. That's not natural. You ever seen somebody that's happy when they're swearing? Blah, 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 blah. Exclamation point, zeros, screw lip deals like this and all that when they put in the comic books like that. You know what I mean? Are they natural? Their veins are popped out. They're having high blood pressure. They're breathing hard. Their eyes are bugged out. Is that natural? Is hating somebody, is that natural? Or are you a loser if you hate people? God, I hate that woman. Oh, I hate her. Oh. Is that natural? Is it? Is that natural? I hate her. I hate her. Oh, God, help me. I hate her. God can't help you. Shut up. Isn't that right? Is that natural? Is there somebody you hate tonight? See, if we do good, that's natural. And when we do what's natural in God, naturally we'll feel good. Don't you feel good after you said, "My God, I'm sorry. I was wrong." Don't you feel good? You open up the cell door. And walk out. Don't you feel good? You know how you have to feel good? When you do right. Well, I could have said this whole message. Do good and you'll feel good. Do bad and you'll feel bad. And if you would have received all that and pondered on it, that would have been the end of the message. Do you want to feel bad? Then do bad. Do you want to feel good? Then do good. How many are hearing this? You cannot go out and raise hell and feel good. And I don't care if all your friends are doing it. You cannot feel good. Period. It won't work. Well, I don't care. I am sick of it. Well, you're just going to be sick and not feel good on top of it. Is this going to get worse? Well, it better happen today. No, not with that attitude. It won't happen until your attitude gets right. You're going to be miserable until you change your attitude. Now, I know there's people on the radio, they're smoking. They're mad. They don't want to hear this. But see, it's only the truth received that will set you free. My God, my God, my God, if we receive truth, and people will spend $45 for a half hour sitting in a shrink's couch. And you know what? They don't receive what they say either. And so they go on paying. And if they start to get well, then the shrink has to make them sick again so he can get that $45. It's probably even more now. Okay, let's go on here. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. If you're in the natural, you cannot receive the things of the Spirit. You'll laugh through the whole works. Kids do that. They'll laugh at their parents. Parents are talking to them and telling them something, and they're going... Huh? They're in the natural. They're in the natural. Parents, don't worry about it. Just pray for them kids. They're going to be miserable. And you know what? God plays rough. They'll end up with both legs and arms up at the hospital in casts if they won't listen. Say amen, somebody. Whew. God will get you one way or another. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I think on a lot of tombstones out there, they should read like this. He died an unnatural death. Isn't it unnatural to die with 39 or 29 or whatever with your liver shot or 49? Or your brain scrambled? Oh, God. The unspiritual man rejects these truths of the Spirit of God. I mean, the contrast here tonight, and I'm closing it up, is not between the natural and the unnatural, but between the spiritual and the unspiritual. And the Bible says the man was made in God's image. It's written in your flesh. You listening on the radio to this tape, even here, if you're not born again, you're still made in God's image. It's written in your flesh. You still have a conscience. Are you hearing this? Now, in the Bible, it calls it iniquity and lawlessness, but in the literal Greek, it really means missing the mark. God, I hope I got across here tonight. Aren't we to be called the lights? Aren't we to be called lights to lead people out of darkness? Do you feel like a light when you walk into where you're working? If you're a light where you're working, and you come in, and people are swearing and cussing, and you're not judging, you just walk in there and you're a light, they say, oh, excuse me, I didn't see you coming. As soon as you walk by with this great light, say amen. Oh, don't you see what we can do as a Christian that's just honest with God? Get your light shining. And all those people there that need to be led out of darkness, instead of us getting into our little selfish flesh moods and people walking around our moods. So many husbands and wives walk around each other's moods. Oh, God, she's having a mood. God, kids. Don't say nothing. She could blow at any minute. It's like carrying nitroglycerin around your neck, you know what I mean? Say amen, somebody. Ooh, a natural man is dangerous, and I don't think that's very natural. God never made us to be that way, where everybody has to work around somebody's mood. Oh, you young people, you listening on the radio, your parents do not have to live their life around your mood. What's wrong, honey? I got therapy for people. Work. Work it out. Ooh. Cleanse yourselves from everything that contaminates either the flesh or the spirit. In 2 Corinthians 7:1. If sin were natural, why should it contaminate? Sin is alien to us. Always will be. Romans 7:13, sin resulted in death for me by making use of this good thing. Let me tell you something. Evil cannot be around where there's no good. There has to be good. Wherever good is, evil will always be present. Why? It can't feed off of evil. It has to feed off of something good. Oh, there's a good person over there. Huh? Wherever good is, evil will always be present. All you good little Christian girls know. There'll be Johnny O's out there. Toot, toot. Huh? And you're just as sweet as can be. And the three-piece suitors are going to come after you, okay? You know what I mean? The gym dandies with the pinstripes, huh? And the tie and the clip. And the pointed shoes, and if you bumped into them, they'd break their hair. Type guys? Huh? They're out there. And the natural part of us will go for that. Say amen. It's the truth. And that's why it says, follow not after the flesh, but follow after the Spirit. Oh, they're waiting. Wherever there's a good little sister or a good little brother, the evil is there because they can't feed on evil. They know each other too well. I know you. They're familiar spirits, the Bible says. I hope I'm touching some of you little Christian girls out there on the radio? Say amen, somebody. Somebody's got to say it. Sometimes we like to be fooled, though, don't we? Oh, I'll change him. I'll take him to church. And I'll introduce him to my pastor. And he just looks like a Greek god. I mean, he just looks like a Bible character. Oh, swoon, swoon. Huh? Don't you mess with him. He knows what he's doing. So do you. Isaiah 26 and 17. As the pregnant woman approaches the time to give birth, she writhes and cries out in her labor pains. Thus were we before thee, O Lord. We were pregnant, we writhed in labor, we gave birth, as it were, only to the wind. We could not accomplish deliverance for the earth, nor were inhabitants of the world born. Listen to what happens here now. Your dead will live, their corpse will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while. Until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. God is coming. Jesus is about to return. Glory to God. Are you hearing this tonight? Let me read one more piece of scripture. Have you got time for one more piece? One more morsel. James 1, 13 and 15. Let no one who is tried by temptation... Let me say something here. Let no one who is tried by temptation... Temptation comes for your faith to be tried. Lord, lead us not into temptation. You might get led there, but the Lord never tempts you. Let no one who is tried by temptation say, my temptation comes from God. God is incapable of being tempted by evil, and he tempts no one. Everyone is tempted as he is beguiled and allured by his own desire. Then the desire conceives and breeds sin. It's just like bacteria. While sin matures and gives birth to death. Are you hearing this tonight? Say amen, somebody. There are going to come temptations upon you like never before. There are going to come temptations. You're going to be tempted by things you were never tempted with before. But that is the testing. Say amen. How many have been tested in their walk? How many have had them temptations? You were tried by them. Oh, doesn't it feel sweet when you make it by and you're on the other side? And you get over there. Well, sometimes we have a feeling of, oh, come on, you can do it. Don't tell me, hey, you can make it through. And we forget the trial we went through. And someone's on the other side. It's like after you take your driving test and someone's sitting there and you were all, you know, uptight about it while you were sitting there, you know, and then you pass it. 95. And you go smiling out, you know, and you don't even got a time of day for the person over here that's suffering. No compassion. When you go through that thing, you know what God wants you to use it for? When you go through the Johnny O and you go buy this character or the three-piece suit guy and all these baloney that he gives you and everything like that and vice versa. When you go buy that, remember those that are behind. And you know what to tell them? Hey, you can do it. God is my witness. You can do it. God's grace will take you by. Yeah, but you don't know the temptation. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I feel so good. It feels so good over here on the other side. It's nothing. I mean, if you fall over there, you know it's wrong while you're into that thing. But come on over here. It's beautiful. And lead them out of there with your light. You receive the light and revelation by the experience. And so it's kind of like when the light bulb goes on in them comic books, you know, the idea. You get the idea now. You go through and you have the idea of deliverance. And so you can give this deliverance to others and say, come on over. It works. I'm here to tell you tonight, it works. It works. And I'm not bragging because it says in the Bible, be careful when you think you stand lest you fall. I'm saying with God, all things are possible here tonight. How many heard this message tonight? All things are possible. Oh, one more scripture coming to my mind. Let me look it up. Can I? No? I'll do it anyway. Jeremiah 2 and 11. Has a nation changed gods when they were not gods? But my people have changed their glory. For that which does not profit. Let us get back to glorying in God. There is no other glory. There is no other glory that you can receive. Listen to it. Has a nation changed God? Gods, when there were not gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Do things profit? Do debates profit? No, giving glory and honor to the Lord is your profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. And shudder. Be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, all that you could possibly want. Oh, the flowing fountain of God. To hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. We have a lot of broken cisterns around. There's only one thing that can hold the glory of God, and that's a person filled with the glory of God that's not seeking after that himself. He is seeking to serve others. That's when the glory of the Lord and God gets the glory. When you deny yourself, bear a cross, and are filled with the presence of the Lord, hallelujah, to serve one another and to lay all down all this selfishness and all this cantankeredness and all of this worldliness and say, Lord, fill me up to overflowing that I may pour out to others, that I may be that fountain, that I may be that one, glory to God, that will do that work that you've called me to do. And 1 Peter 2 and 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envy and all phlegm, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word. Oh, long for it. That By it you may grow in respect to salvation. Let me say this, verse 3. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, and coming to him as to a living stone rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in the Scripture. Oh my God. Hallelujah. And then in 1 Peter 3 and 12. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. Are you hearing this word tonight? One more piece of scripture, please. Bear with me here. And this will be James 3 and 16. 3 and 16. For where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, where they exist, there is disorder and every evil thing.